Great. Well, I had the privilege of baptizing both of my daughters, so I know the good feeling that Bill shares right now. Well, I'd like you to take your Bibles, please, to Genesis chapter 2, Genesis the second chapter. I mentioned last Sunday night that beginning tonight, I wanted to just do a brief series on images or portraits of Jesus Christ in Genesis. And Sunday mornings, we're going through the Gospel of John, so we know what John's Gospel has to say about Christ and about his being God the Son and describing his fullness of deity. But Christ is seen throughout the Old Testament. In fact, one of the things you should know about the Scriptures is that Jesus Christ is from cover to cover in this book, not just in the Gospels, not just in some of the words of prophecy that you might clearly indicate that are about him, but he is mysteriously woven in like a thread throughout every portion of this book. And we see him in forms or what we call types. A type is a person or an object that portrays a lesson or truth about Christ or about some other aspect of God's truth. And we see types of Christ in so many different places, but we're going to look at some of those in Genesis. But one of the types in the Old Testament, in Genesis in particular, is Isaac, Abraham's son. He's seen as a type of Christ in that he was offered as an only son on an altar of sacrifice. But the interesting thing about types is that there can be multiple types within the same event or same circumstance. So not only is Christ seen in type through Isaac being laid on the altar, but he's also seen in the ram that appeared in the bushes to be placed upon the altar as a substitute so that Isaac could be spared. So two types of Christ within the same event. The serpent that Moses lifted up in the wilderness, that's a type of Christ, disease that struck the Israelites while they were in the wilderness. But God designed that Moses would construct this serpent and mount it on a cross, on a pole, and raise it up high, a bronze image. And anyone who would look upon that and believe would be healed of their diseases. So that is an image of Christ in that sense. We see Jesus in Joseph, one who went through suffering and then was followed by exaltation. And then, of course, David is an image or a type of Christ in so many different ways. But the one I want to look at tonight is one that's going to seem rather odd at first, but as we examine it a little more closely, it will begin to make a bit of sense. And that is the type of Christ we see in Adam's rib. Now, let's read here, or let me read for you at verse 21 of Genesis chapter 2. So the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall upon the man, and he slept. Then he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh at that place. The Lord God fashioned into a woman the rib which he had taken from the man, and brought her to the man. The man said, "This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh." Now, when you think about that whole scene of God taking a rib out of Adam in order to form a woman, it's one of those strange things that God chose to do. But he is God, and he can do things any way that he wants to. But I have to wonder, why didn't God use some other means? I mean, if he formed Adam from the dust of the ground, why didn't he form Eve in the same way? Why would he have to do surgery on Adam and remove a bone from his body and form woman? Well, for the answer to that, we need to go to Ephesians chapter 5, and if you want to slide your worship folder or something into Genesis 2, you can do that. But we've got to go to Ephesians chapter 5 to get some instruction from the Apostle Paul. And I'm sliding down to verse 30. I'll just read for you verses 30 to 32. In verse 30, Ephesians 5, Paul says, because we are members of his body, that is, Christ's body, for this reason a man shall leave his father and mother and shall be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. This mystery is great, but I am speaking with reference to Christ and the church. So the typology here really is Eve formed from Adam's rib is a type of the church of Jesus Christ being built from Christ. Now in verse 30, we are members of his body. We're members of the body of Christ. Eve was created from Adam's body, his flesh. So likewise, we as believers in Christ are members of his body. We are created from him. That is the church now. Verse 31, Paul quotes directly again from Genesis 2, verse 23. And the point is, since woman was formed from the flesh of the man, God's design for marriage is that a man and a woman become one flesh. Now that's a mysterious thing right there. But don't get too shook up if you don't quite comprehend that or can fully appreciate the meaning of that whole image of two becoming one flesh. That's okay. It's powerful enough to know that Christ is represented in Adam and the church is represented in Eve. And it's a unique union that God has designed. But as you consider the typology that's fulfilled in Christ, just a few parallels from the situation with Adam and the situation with the church in Christ. Adam was put to sleep. Now, we know in the New Testament, sleep is often used as an image or a term for death. When Lazarus died, Jesus said he sleeps. He wasn't just sleeping like we do at night. He was dead. And we're told, too, that when the rapture takes place, when Christ calls the church out, the dead in Christ or those who are asleep in Christ will be raised first, and those who are alive and remain will be caught up together to meet him in the air. So sleep is often a term that's used to speak of death in the New Testament. While Adam was asleep, God performed this surgery on him to remove his rib. And then after the procedure was open and the woman was fashioned or created or built, then Adam was awakened from his sleep. Now, take that image into Christ. He was put to death, literally. Sleep in the death sense. Placed in the tomb, literally dead. But he died so that he could give birth to the church, which would spring on the scene after he would ascend back to heaven. Jesus, we know, was dead for 3 days. How long was Adam asleep? Don't know. We're not told. Whether it was 3 minutes or 3 hours or 3 days or whatever it was. We just don't know. Doesn't matter. God did it and he performed the surgery. Christ then arose from the dead. He was awakened from the dead on the third day. Adam, when God performed this surgery, his side was opened up to remove the rib. When Christ hung on the cross, his side was opened only with a spear. And no doubt when God performed the surgery on Adam, there was blood that was shed. He was a living, breathing human being, and when you cut into a human being, they bleed. Jesus Christ, we know, shed his blood on the cross to redeem us from our sin. Not only that, Eve was a supernatural new creation. And she was not the product of natural birth, neither was Adam. God created Adam from dust of the ground. God created this new creature, woman, from Adam's rib, a new supernatural creation. Not only that, Eve was not formed until all of creation had already been put into place. Everything was done. From animals to land to space, water, man, everything was done. The only thing left was a helpmate for Adam. So God formed the woman. And likewise, when it comes to the church is a supernatural new creation of God that was not formed until Christ came in the fullness of time. After everything had been created on the earth, after God had called down his people Israel through Abraham, and we went through Isaac and Jacob and all of that growth of the nation, and then the captivity, and then Moses, and then the law, the sacrificial system, captivity, release, all of that was going on. And then finally, in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, a virgin. Jesus came then to bring redemption. And out of that redemption would be produced this new entity known as the church, his body. Now consider the process of this. We have a key word here back in Genesis where we're told that out of this rib that God took from Adam, he fashioned it into a woman. Another literal word we could use here would be the word built. The Hebrew word is bana, B-A-N-N-A-H. And many times throughout the Old Testament, that word is used to speak of building. So some versions will say, he built a woman. The church is the body of Christ. And what did Jesus say about the church? I will build my church. I will construct it. I will form it. It's the product of his flesh, his sacrifice. I wonder, I kind of alluded to this a moment ago, we don't know how long Adam was unconscious. How long did it take God to form the woman? I know I'm going down a dangerous road here, and I'm not going very far, just so you know that. How long did it take him to construct, to build this woman? We don't know, okay? Good that we don't. But what we do know is that the church is something that Jesus Christ said he would build, and he's still building it. The church isn't done yet. He's still in this process of perfecting it. So maybe the same is true of woman. That God is still in this continual process of perfecting women. Now with man, he just made him out of the dirt of the ground and said, that's it. That's all I can do with him. I'm done with him. But I'm just going to keep on perfecting the woman. She'll get better and better. My wife isn't even in here to hear me say that. Tell her I said that. Wait. That's just your Valentine's Day thought. But the presentation, that's the interesting thing. That's the good part of the whole story in Genesis. Because we're told in chapter 2 there in verse 22 that after God formed the woman, he brought her to the man. He presented her to the man. And the man said, wow, what is this? I think I'll call her woman because she was taken from me. Perfect. complete. So we know the church is not yet perfect or complete. There are still people being added to the church. It's still growing. It's still in this process. But one day, it's going to be complete. One day, the church is going to be presented in heaven. Now, back to Ephesians. That's where we're told this. Ephesians chapter 5, backing up to verse 25. There's a little counsel going on here too. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her, so that he might sanctify her, having cleansed her by the washing of water with the word, that he might present to himself the church in all her glory, having no spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that she should be holy and blameless. You know, when you think about Adam and Eve back in the garden, I guess there's a sense in our imagination here where we could say that this was a marriage, the first marriage that took place, and God himself was the one who performed the ceremony. How cool is that? And then he also gave Adam some instruction. I'm sure he did. We aren't told here back in Genesis that he did, but I'm sure that he realized that Adam's going to have a little guidance here to know what he's supposed to do with this woman. So I just in my imagination, I see God pulling Adam aside and saying, "Now listen, here's some pointers for you. Here's how you do this." And I say that because as this image is being presented here in Ephesians chapter 5, God commands husbands what to do with their wives. And he made it very simple because he knows that men need simplicity. He knows that men don't read manuals. They just open the box and tear into it and start putting it together, and then it doesn't work. It doesn't fit right. I got parts left over. If we just slow down and read the manual and follow the instructions, it will work. But guys don't do that, and they don't ask for directions, and they don't get help. So God made it very, very simple for us. He just said, "Here it is, men. Here's the guideline. Love your wives." How? As Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. That's it. That solves a whole lot of problems right there. If we get away from the self-centeredness, the selfishness, it's all about me, and focus on the wife. Sacrifice for the wife. It's taken me 35 years to figure this out, but I'm slow like all the rest of you guys. Love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up. Don't expect her to give herself up for you. Why did God use Adam's rib and not some other bone? Well, I suspect probably because he had plenty of ribs in there. He could spare them. In fact, somebody said that man was made from dirt and woman was made from prime rib. And that's probably some truth to that. But here's what Matthew Henry, in his old commentary, had to say about this. She was not made out of his head to rule over him, nor out of his feet that she should be trampled upon by him, but out of his side to be equal with him, under his arm to be protected by him, and near his heart to be loved. Doesn't that get you right here? I think that's well said. This is a mystery that's great. But speaking in reference to Christ and the church. Well, that's our first portrait of Christ that we find in the book of Genesis. Joel and Paulette, I didn't see you there. Were you here earlier when we had prayer? Okay. We're praying for you folks right now, just so you know that. We've been told our folks to remember you, Paulette, in prayer this week, and we give you our sympathies in the loss that you're dealing with. Okay. Well, let me pray, and then Dave's going to come, and as we sing, those who are being baptized, if you make your way to the rooms. Father, thank you for your word now. And as we continue now in a celebration of baptism, that you'll continue to bless our hearts and our souls. And we'll give you our praise in Jesus' name.